You know, perspective can be a tricky thing. You know, sometimes it's hard to get, and it's also easy to lose. One of the reasons is because we filter everything through our experience. We filter the way we see the world through what we view around us. You know, when our friends in Detroit, Rob and Lisa Tennant, had their first son, Charlie, almost everybody thought he was a small baby. But, you know, Charlie weighed 5 pounds and 14 ounces. But we had just had our son, Alex, and he weighed 5 pounds and 13 ounces. And so to us, Charlie was huge. Because that 1 ounce is like a full percentage point, which means a lot when you're newborn, you know. And also, in the same way, when our family moved here in 2003, we bought our first house, and it met our needs beautifully, and it was really nice compared to the place we lived in, Grand Rapids, which was a small 2-bedroom duplex where we had our 3 kids, and the church office was in our house. But we hadn't lived here very long when one of our sons informed us that we lived in the neighborhood where the poor people lived, and asked if we could please move to one of the neighborhoods where the rich people lived. And because we filter the world through what we see, and so it's hard to keep perspective. Because it's hard for us to take a big enough sample to see where things really are. You know, Sue mentioned the fact last week that I think is pretty remarkable. But if you make $46,000 a year, you are in the top 1% of wage earners in the world. And some of us may make more than $46,000, some may make less, but just that number. But the thing is, we don't look at the whole world. We look at people around us, and some of us who are in the top 1% in the world can sometimes feel poor. I feel like, Daddy, we live in the poor neighborhood. Let's move to the rich neighborhood. When we are so abundantly far beyond the world's wildest imaginations blessed. But if we don't see the whole world, we can lose that perspective. And this perspective is not designed to produce guilt, just perspective. It's also to say that it's easy for all of us to fall into the comparison trap. And it could have to do with wealth or accomplishment. So many things. Sometimes we can even transfer it onto our kids. We compare our kids to other people's kids and how they're doing academically or in sports or in ballet or gymnastics or whatever. And we're comparing ourselves to other people, and we lose perspective, and we forget to acknowledge what we have and where we are. So being surrounded by such wealth like we are, even the top 1% in the world can feel poor. But the truth is, we're rich beyond the world's wildest dreams. But the bad news is that wealth does not bring happiness. It doesn't. 1 Timothy 6, starting in verse 17, it says, command those who are rich in this present world, that's us, command or instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Can I get an amen? Has anybody in here experienced the uncertainty of wealth in the last, I don't know, say, 10 minutes? The last 10 years. We all experience a changing economy. And the truth is, wealth is uncertain. I grew up in an age, my parents grew up in an age where the idea was you go to work somewhere and you work there
for 35 or 40 years and you get a watch and a pension and you're good. We don't live in that world anymore. And we look for security. We look for things to put our hope in. You know, one of the things before I went into the ministry, I was a self-employed graphic designer. And I realized, and it was kind of challenging to kind of go out on my own. One of the things that made it easier is I got laid off from the company. And so I can't do that anymore. But it was intimidating to think about being my own boss, or having my own business. But one of the things that I came to is that working for a company only gives the illusion of security. And really, as employees, our security is in us and what we bring to the table. But wealth is uncertain. Our jobs can be uncertain, but our hope is in God. Here, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, command or instruct those who are rich not to be arrogant and not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. It says, command those who are rich to not be arrogant or conceited, and not to put their hope in wealth, because it's so insecure, but put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. But what does it say about God, who God is? Command them to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. We are blessed beyond the world's wildest imaginations. So should we feel guilty for that? We should be grateful for that, because we are richly blessed by the God who provides. It says, for our enjoyment. God wants us to enjoy these things. But here's the deal. Those things can't bring us happiness. It really hinges on our attitude toward those things. And he says, command them to do good, be rich in good deeds, and generous and willing to share. That's our theme verse for this summer and this program that we're calling Indeed. Be rich in good deeds. Show our love by our actions, by our deeds. And there have been so many things that we've been doing lately, and things that we've been able to experience that were such joyful expressions of these principles. One was the recent Gravity and Edge family campout. And being in that place with a number of families, there were about 60, a little over 60 of us in all. Some were seasoned campers, and we love having them. And others are rookie campers, and we like to laugh at them, like to have people laugh at us, because we don't know what we're doing. But it was a time of just incredible community with people coming together, and the real pros, like the Thomases and the Acostas and the Lees, were just taking care of all of us and so many other, and it's the picture of what community is, and it's about every person, whether you're experienced or not, bringing what you have to the table. It was such an expression of community, of being rich in good deeds, of everybody giving, everybody encouraging, everybody being together. People from very different backgrounds, different countries. In communion that morning, I asked, how many of you were born in Georgia? And then we talked about, well, where were you born? And there were people from all over the United States, you know, city folks, country folks, out of the country folks. Just all these different people coming together and enjoying this time together. And it was a time where people were amazingly rich in good deeds. It was a time of sharing, being generous, being willing to share. Sunday fun day, last Sunday, was amazing. And it's amazing to see what an event like that takes organizationally. I mean, everybody came together. I don't even have time to talk about all the different things, but you saw it, right? I mean, it was just this big organism, and the rain came, and the kids didn't care. The adults watched from inside or with umbrellas, you know, and the kids were like we weren't going to get wet in the water slide, you know. And but we had such a blast, and it was everybody bringing their gifts, bringing their tables, donating the money to make it happen, and it came, and it was an amazing event. We had 14 different families from the community come and spend that day with us. But it was about us all coming together and putting on something special for the community, but putting on something special for us. Because we decided to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And it's amazing what happens when people do that. Josh already talked about this Feed Gwinnett thing we had Wednesday night. It was amazing. It was kind of funny leading up to that time. We were planning on doing 500, but you guys were so generous. You gave more money than we asked for. And it's like, well, we've got more money. Let's make more lunches. And we also, with Kay and Sue, together with Jonathan from Must Ministries, we were kind of sharpening our pencil and said, listen, we've got enough money here. Because he told us where to buy the supplies and that kind of thing. And so we figured out we actually have enough money to do twice as many. And so Sue said, I'm going to go to Sam's Club and pick up the stuff. And I said, food for 1,000 lunches. Would you like me to go with you? And she said, oh, that would be nice. Like, not necessary, but sweet. And I'm picturing, like, this is going to be a lot of stuff. And then we got to Sam's Club, and I just got the first item, and I said, I've made a terrible mistake. And I called home and said, Austin fortunately had spent the night. And I said, can you drive, because we brought Sue's van, and I said, can you drive my pickup truck up here? And he said, sure, no problem. So I say, thank God for Austin. Because me and my old high and mighty self, I was like, Sue doesn't really have perspective on how much stuff this is going to be. And I got there after pulling one item. I was like, I had no idea what I was getting into. If I'd known this, I would not have volunteered to come with Sue. But we had the flatbed carts are almost 8 feet long. We had three of them piled up this high. We filled up my pickup truck and Sue's van. And then we got back to the building, and thank God for Austin that he brought my truck there and rescued us. And thank God for Josh and Micah and Avery who were here and helped us unload that stuff, because we were already tired before we got here. And then we started thinking, do we even have enough refrigerator space to put all this stuff in? We really thought this through. And then it occurred to us, where are we going to put it after we put the sandwiches together? Because just the meat and cheese maxed us out in there. And then fortunately, Jonathan came that night and took everything back over there. He's got a big refrigerated section at Must Ministries, which is great. But because we were all in, we were going to do it, but sometimes you run into little adventures when you start doing that. And but just the joy, the electricity in the room that we experienced on Wednesday night, I tell you, when you decide, I know that we're blessed, But we this is not just for us. God doesn't bless us just because we're special. God blesses us to be a blessing. And it was one of those times where you just sit back, and well, sit back is rough because I'm, you know, packing up sandwiches, but I'm looking at it and I was like, this is what makes Cornerstone Cornerstone. And it really doesn't have anything to do with Cornerstone. It has to do with us, with Jesus being enough for us, with Jesus being our hero, Jesus being our rescuer, Jesus being our role model. Like when we put the teachings of Jesus into practice, it allows us to enjoy the blessings that God gives us. If we hoarded them for ourselves and we put our hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, that those same blessings would not bring the joy that they do when we give them away. It just doesn't work that way. And God, in his goodness, set it up that way. That's who God is in God's character. That God is a giver. God is the one who richly provides for us for our enjoyment. But it's ironic that when we receive those blessings from God, it's for our enjoyment, but if we hoard them for ourselves, we don't get to enjoy them. But when we become like God, And we do good, and we're rich in good deeds, and we're generous and willing to share, we share in the joy of God. And that was the electricity that we felt in the room on Wednesday night. It was a similar experience. Jim Albert and I went to visit Charlie Williamson on Friday, and we took him out to lunch, and we went there to encourage Charlie. I mean, most of you probably know, but Charlie's been going through some really tough stuff. He got a blow on the head that kind of compressed his spine. He's been in terrible, unbearable pain, but then has found out that he had an infection in his heart. So he needs heart surgery, and he needs back surgery. But he's been down for weeks and weeks and weeks. And he's been to church a couple times. And if you saw him last week, you see that he's lost about 30 pounds. If I lost 30 pounds, you might not notice it. Charlie was already cut. He didn't have 30 pounds to lose. But he's been just battling all these things. And I thought, I just want to go encourage him. My man Jim lives next door to me. I said, Jim, why don't you go with me? We'll go and take Charlie out to lunch. And we went to encourage Charlie, and Charlie encouraged us. Truth is, Charlie's a talker. He talked about 90% of the time. Jim and I tag team for the other 10%. But he's just talking, you know, he's talking about how God has brought him through. Because this, I mean, when you're in unbearable pain for long periods of time, that messes with you. Everything. There's the physical component, but it's almost like that's the smallest part of it. Emotionally, spiritually, it's like you're under attack in every way. And that's where Charlie's been for weeks. But he was talking about the way he's prayed and that God has brought him through some really dark times, dark thoughts. And he's got other stuff going on in his life that he's dealing with also. And bless her heart, Catherine, it's so challenging to care for somebody who's in extreme pain for a long time. And I mean, God blessed her with the opportunity to go out to spend time with their son, Taylor, this week out west, where he's a helicopter pilot that flies tours in the Grand Canyon. And so she's getting a little break. He's doing better. But we went to encourage him, and he encouraged us. You know, I think about this verse, Philemon 4 through 7. It says, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Sharing what you believe. Things like Charlie sharing the way God has brought him through this horrifically terrible time in his life. There's something about that that helps him understand every good thing he has in Christ. And I think what it is, it's about taking time to stop and get perspective. How easy would it be to just be bitter and complain in that circumstance? Real easy, right? We've seen ourselves do it time and time again, right? It's easy to do. But when you stop and say, God has brought me here. God is bringing me through. Faith means more. And usually when we think of sharing your faith, we think about evangelism generally. But what it's talking about here, that Paul is writing to Philemon, and he says, you have refreshed the hearts of the saints. It's good to share your faith with people who don't have faith, with non-believers, but it's good for us to share our faith with each other. It's refreshing to our hearts. Faith means more when you share it. It's the same with wealth. It's the same with any kind of blessing we have. It means more when we share it. That's why Paul told Timothy to instruct those who are rich to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share, because that is actually the doorway of having joy from the blessings that you have. Riches themselves don't bring joy. How we manage the blessings can bring deep and lasting joy. And he said that involves two things. First of all, putting your hope in God. Not in riches that are so uncertain. Put your hope in God and then do good. Be rich in good deeds. And be generous and willing to share. You know, we had Jen and Jose Acosta and Nicola and Donovan Goodman over for dinner Friday night. And we had a great time, and we cooked burgers and hung out and talked. But there was a time that evening, we just had some time to share our faith with each other. We're talking about the journey God has had us on and the way God was working in our lives. And it was an amazing time. But it was, you know, I could talk about any number of things, but I just want to say how special it was to hear Jen Acosta share her faith with all of us that night. And what God has done and brought her through some rough times where she's been let down and abandoned by significant people in our lives, and she's been let down by church. Multiple times, and when I think about the things that God has brought her through, it's like, it's a miracle that she's a believer. It's a miracle. I don't throw that word around casually. But she has a faith in a good God. And she's read in the Bible about a heavenly Father that knows how to give good gifts, when her experience early in life was that fathers actually let you down. But it's the work of God in her life that has taken her on a journey and given her a story to tell that is so powerful and so moving. We all have a story to tell. We all have a story to tell. And faith means more when you share it. It's a reminder. It's like you put a bookmark in it and you say, okay, I'm going to stop right here and I'm going to look around and I'm going to get perspective. I'm going to look where I've come from and where God has me now. And maybe there's things in my life, maybe there's things in our circumstances as individuals or even as a church that we say, man, I wish this was different. I wish these struggles, these hardships were not going on. But look how far God has brought us. God is in the business of doing miracles. God is always pouring blessings out on us, but what really gives us the ability to enjoy those is when we acknowledge how rich we are. When we acknowledge how blessed we are, and we make the decision to put our hope in God and not in the stuff He gives us, and then we decide to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. That's what this summer is about. A couple of quick points before we close out. First of all, you can't take it with you. You've heard that, right? Can't take it with you. It's true. It's actually in the Bible. 1 Timothy 6, back up a little bit to verse 6. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Woo! If we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Sometimes you don't need to preach. Sometimes you just let the Bible say what it says. We need to let this truth from God sink in. Because we are surrounded, we are immersed in a culture that does not believe that. It doesn't. You know, I've heard it said, maybe you've heard it said, we need to guard the truth. I think the way you guard the truth is kind of like you guard a lion. Turn it loose. You don't really need to say much. The truth is powerful. Godliness with contentment is great gain. If we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. Man, that's so convicting. To me. How about you? We brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing with us. You can't take it with you. That's true. But there's another truth in this verse. A verse we've already read, verse 19, and that truth is we do take it with us. We do take some things with us. Verse 19, right after it says, command those who are rich to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Verse 19, in this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. This stuff that God gives us, the money that God gives us, the gifts that God gives us, the talents, the energy, the abilities, everything that God gives us, who richly provides for us for our enjoyment. None of those things can bring happiness, and none of those things are things that we can take with us. But if we decide to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share, we actually do take those things as treasure into the coming age. In this way, by doing those things, in this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. It's a way of taking hold of eternal life. It's a part of our salvation. It's freeing us from the slavery to stuff, because we choose to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. We will take treasure into the next life, not the stuff, but the character that it produces in us when we handle, when we are stewards of our stuff in a way that brings glory to God rather than hoarding it for ourselves. Because our character is shaped by the way that we share the blessings that God gives us. We're sharing our wealth, we're sharing our faith, we're sharing our time, we're sharing our energy, we're sharing everything God has given us. In this beautiful display of community and people coming together just to bring, and it's not about how you compare to somebody else, it's just that we all show up and bring whatever we can in our diversity, in our different gifts, that we show up and whatever we have is available. That's what Wednesday night was such a graphic display of that. And you just never know what God is going to do through times like this. Jonathan from Must Ministries was so encouraged by all of you and the way that we showed up. And we were wondering if we were going to have time. You know, we were thinking, we got an hour and a half, we're going to do 500 meals. And then we figure out, well, we have money to do 1,000. And believe it or not, we actually got supplies for 1,000 into the building. But how long is this going to take us? I remember I heard somebody saying, well, what we'll do is we'll just do as many as we can to 8:30, and then if people have to leave, they can leave, but maybe some of us will be willing to stay and just keep going until we can get all 1,000 of them done. Like Josh said, Josh was trying to make people hokey pokey, and they didn't want a hokey pokey. It was like, we got sandwiches to make. And in about an hour and 20 minutes, we made 1,008 sandwiches, cleaned up everything, put the tables away, set all the chairs back up, and we're locking the door. We were in the parking lot at 8:30. So like in an hour and 10 minutes, we made 1,008 sandwiches. There were moments of panic. Because we were like, you know, we bought the supplies, and we were saying, we're out of Ziplocs. And Sue and I were thinking, how could we possibly be out of Ziplocs? We bought them. We know we have 1,000. How can we be out of Ziplocs? Somebody's got Ziplocs, right? Nope, nobody had Ziplocs. Turns out, well, we've already made over 1,000 sandwiches. That's why we were out. But Jonathan was so encouraged by you. And we're so encouraged by the work that they do and the way they connect with people in need in the community. But he showed a really moving video at the beginning. It was a young girl, and she talked about the way Must Ministries ministered to her at a time when her mother died when she was a young girl. Her father suffered from mental illness, and he just kind of fell apart and stopped trying after that. She didn't tell her whole story, but she went from family member to family member and eventually went into the foster system. But she talked about the way that Must Ministries gave them food when she didn't know where food was going to come from. But check this out. Some of us were looking at that young girl and said, wait a minute. We know her. She was one of the Buehler's foster daughters. I think God might be up to something with that young lady. She's got a story to tell. But think about this. Why does she have a story to tell? Because God has shown up in her life through believers, people who saw themselves as the hands and feet of Jesus. People that didn't know each other from different places, you know, and we didn't know how God was, we didn't know her story and the way that God got her to the Buehlers, and we didn't know the story of how we were going to connect with Must Ministries and how we were going to be encouraged and moved by her story. I mean, it just all comes together. And the deal is, we serve a good God and a big God that works far beyond what we can even imagine. You can't orchestrate that. But those stories come from people who say, look, I've been blessed in whatever, in any way, money, time, energy, wisdom, you name it. But I didn't get this from God to be a hoarder. I was given this from God to be a blessing, to be a channel. But what we find is when we do that, that God shows up in really hard circumstances. God shows up in challenges. The reason the story's inspiring is because God shows up in hard circumstances. There are a few things more boring than everything just going your way. Can you imagine being really inspired by a trust fund baby who grows up in Sugarloaf Country Club, and then one day, get this, he gets a Volvo. Isn't that inspiring? No, it's not inspiring. Everything's going as... Now, later on, when the bottom falls out, and then God shows up in a difficult time, then he's got a story to tell. If that same person learns that you can't put your trust in wealth, which is so uncertain, but he learns to trust in God, then he's got an inspiring story. When we learn that we can't put our trust in everything going our way, we can't put our trust in, you name it, anything except God. And then the blessings we have, we decide that with them we'll do good. We'll be rich in good deeds. And that we'll be generous and willing to share. You know, this past Wednesday night was just one example of Cornerstone at its best. But what that starts with, what things like that start with, is perspective. The perspective that says, you know what? I'm blessed. Who can I share it with? God has given me richly for my enjoyment, and I want to spread that around. God has given me faith, and I want to share that. That's when God shows up. That's when miracles happen. And brothers and sisters, that is what's going on right now among us and through us. Amen.